Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? How has been your week? Are you sure? Hallelujah. The Lord that has brought you this morning will bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. My sermon this morning, I want you to listen carefully. Today is the second Sunday, and usually is our youth Sunday. And our youth Sunday is supposed to come up immediately. That's our youth training. It's supposed to come up immediately after the service. So we normally have two services today. But, you know, as I was putting this together, the Holy Spirit just whispered into my heart that we need it. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. You know, the message was inspired by a book written by Reverend Areogu. Hallelujah. And I also went for a training along that line with my spiritual father. And I felt, no. We need to know this. We need to understand. Every one of us need to know this. Every one of us need to benefit from it. And that's why you are here this morning to listen. I want you to pay rapt attention, because something is about to hit you that will change the course of your destiny forever. And you know, when God is coming our way this way, is a privilege. You know, I was somewhere and I ministered. I was just there to minister. I wasn't even planning to minister along this line. But you know, I was ministering to two women. I was ministering to them. And some other people were there. But these particular women, as I was ministering, and I began to do this analysis for them. Do you know, by the time I realized what was happening, they were crying. Do you understand? You know, when you understand the root of your problem, that's all. It is solved. What is the way out should be the next question. Hallelujah. So what is the meaning of life? What does life look like? Why do we live life? How are we supposed to live life? What are the stages in life? You know, these are critical questions. You know, many of us pass through life without life passing through us. That is a major challenge. But do you know what? This morning, I can assure you by the authority of Jesus that certain things will be ignited in your spirit, man, and you will never remain the same. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So if I take a little bit of our time, I'm sure you will not be angry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The topic of my sermon is the six zones of life. 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 I said the size of the crown, that the size of your crown will determine how hard the devil will fight you. But the level of your preparation will rescue you in the day of battle. Hallelujah. When the devil is hitting you hard, he knows that there is something ahead of you that he wants to stop. He's not about today. He's about the future that he has seen. And he's struggling and doing everything possible to stop you. Hallelujah. He knew that Joseph, Joseph has started broadcasting it everywhere. So the devil knew he walked, I think. What did he do? He brought war against Joseph. But you know what? The level of the preparation of Joseph saw him through. Did he arrive in the palace? In grand style. Hallelujah. You will arrive in grand style in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Prayer is powerful. I love prayer. Prayer is good. Hallelujah. I love to pray. I've seen answers beyond my widest imagination. In prayers, in the place of prayer, I've seen God move like never before. But I'm glad to let you know this morning that if you think only prayer will solve all your problems in life, you're a joker. You are what? You're a joker. There are ingredients that you must mix with it. There are things you need to know. There are things you need to understand. If you don't understand those things, you will be in trouble. You'll be. I'm a pastor. I listen to people. I hear people. I meet with people. And you know, many a times, when you see and listen to their words, you feel pity. You feel pity for them. You understand? You feel pity because you understand where things have gone wrong in their life. You know, I was speaking, somebody linked me up with a lady in the U.S. that had a problem. I was sharing with my wife. And I began to speak to this lady. And you know, she began to weep like a baby. She had a marital challenge. And you know, she was weeping like a baby. And I began to trace back the issue.
You understand? It's not word of knowledge I was using. Do you understand? I was using the knowledge of what I'm learning this morning to talk to her. And she was just crying. I had to allow her to cry. I said, when you finish crying, call me back. When your head has cleared, then we can pray. There are things you need to understand. If you think it's just prayer, be careful. There are things that must be in place to make prayer work. And if you don't put them in their proper place, you will head for challenges that you will never be able to battle with. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I call it the six zones of life. Let's go to our scriptural reference. I need to read very fast. So please, you need to be in the spirit and be changing fast for me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1 down to 11. It's a scripture, you know. Hallelujah. The six zones of life. To everything, listen carefully. There is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Go ahead. Verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. Now, the six zones are within this range. The time you are born and the time you will die. Are you listening to me? So the six zones are within it. Follow me carefully this morning. It's a teaching, so you need to pay rapt attention. I said, a plan, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rent, and a time to seal. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that walketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised of it. Yeah. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the word in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You have not attended baptism before. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, can I have my diagram now? Quickly. Can I have my diagram? A time to be born and a time to die. Hallelujah. Can you zoom up a little? Oh, your screen is small. All right, it's okay. It's okay. Can you zoom just a little? All right. Can we all see this? Do we see it? Okay, the resolution might not allow. But can we all see this? Not everybody. Huh? Sir, the right up is small. All right, no problem. Can I have six people here? So I will use it from there. Six people. Come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Six of you. All right, come. Stand there. Come. Stand there. Stand there. Move forward a little. Move forward a little, please. Move forward. Move forward. Is it okay? All right. Take care. Stand there. To us. It's okay. Alright, I want to give you the analogy. Hallelujah. But that will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Now listen carefully so that I can explain my diagram very well. When you have this understanding from today, the way you live your life will change. Now there are six zones in life. That's what this picture depicts. Oh, it's bigger now. Hallelujah. Now, the first zone is here. I call it the comfort zone. Praise the Lord. Please move forward a little. I call it what? The comfort zone. Now, this man here, hallelujah, I call it what? The combat zone. Hallelujah. Then this man here, I call him what? The victory zone. And then this man here, I call him what? The safety zone. Are you following me now? Now, this lady here now is a problem. Hallelujah. You're not the problem in Jesus' name. But then, this is what I call the crisis zone. And then, finally, this one. That will not be your portion. The death zone. Those are the six zones of life. Now, you need to pay attention and understand them very well. Now, everybody starts their life from the comfort zone. Everybody. But no matter who you are, immediately after the comfort zone, you enter into this zone called what? The what? Combat zone. Talk to me. The combat zone. Now, this is the junction where things changes in the life of many people. This is the zone where it changes. Now, from here, two things can happen to a man. From here, his life can change from here. And from here, he can either come branch to the right or continue in the straight line. Now, from here, if he's continuing in the straight line, he moves directly to where? Directly to where? The victory zone. But if he doesn't combat well, he will move from here to where? Crisis zone. Are you following me? Please pay attention. He moves to the crisis zone. Now, but if he combats very well, he moves from here to where? Victory zone. Then from the victory zone, he moves to where? Safety zone. And from safety zone, he moves to where? Death zone. But a man that enters into crisis can move from here directly to this place. Now, the agenda of God is for every man to travel this road and come here. That's why Paul woke up one morning and he said, I feel like dying and I feel like still staying. He said, which one do I do now? He said, I'm negotiating between two opinions. Do I go? Do I remain? He said, okay, no problem. Hallelujah. He said, for your sake, I will stay. Eh? Who talks like that in the face of death? Hallelujah. The person that talks like that in the face of death is a man that has traveled this road and branch here. Everybody, this is the exit point from this planet. For everybody. Except rapture takes place. But if rapture has not taken place, everybody will exit by death. And if you want to go to heaven, hallelujah, death. That's the exit point. But the problem is this. Many people, most people, they travel from here to here. And directly from here, they move here. Crisis has come now. And that's a major problem. Because they don't understand what is happening around them. Hallelujah. They don't. So they have any people end up here. But there is a way out. That's why I said this morning, that is a serious issue. Because there is a way out. And what is the way out? You can move from here to here. And the only thing that will move you from crisis to victory zone is called what? Divine intervention. But you know, divine intervention can be like a gamble. Because it may happen and may not happen. Hallelujah. So you need to understand the dynamics. But many people end up jumping from here. Then they exit. And that's all. Hallelujah. So that, those are the six zones of life. Do you have a pictorial understanding of what I'm talking about now? Then we can start picking them and explaining them now. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That will not be your portion. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Let's clap for them. Let them go back to their seats. The Lord bless you. Masatali gariba kashontolia. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's look at the characteristics of the zones. We'll start from where? The comfort zone. We are looking at the characteristics of the comfort zone. Number one characteristic of the comfort zone is this. It is usually from age 0, when you are born, to about age 20 to 25. That's one of the characteristics of the comfort zone. Are you following me? It is usually within that age range. That's number one thing you need to know about the comfort zone. Number two, It also has to do with space, time, and free periods. So it is not just necessarily by what? By age. Are you following me now? Eh? You can be in the comfort zone. How many people are on vacation now? School, you are on vacation. Alright? Do you understand me now? You have time. Maybe you have gone on leave. You understand? That's a what? That's a comfort. Abi, you have just finished serving like maybe now. Abi, you are waiting to make progress in life. Abi, you want to get married. You are looking for a job and all that. You know, that's a comfort zone. Because you don't really have much worries. Hey, yeah, at that time. Are you following me now? So we said, it also has to do with space, time, and free periods. Hallelujah. So it doesn't refer to everybody on age. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it has to do with space. It has to do with time. Are you following me now? Praise the Lord. Then, number three. It is a zone of ease. It's a what? A zone of ease. No trouble. No problems. No issues in your life. No issues. You are enjoying ease. Hallelujah. Everything you need, you have it. Praise the Lord. You know, every month, when month ends, Kindi will just ask me for his allowance. I'll be Kindi. And I will send him his allowance to his account. But do you know what? He has never for one day asked me, that's how did you get this money every month? It's not his business. It's not his headache. It's not his business. Hallelujah. Where is wisdom? Wisdom, come. Run. It's okay. God bless you. What are you going to eat today? After service. What will you eat? Will you eat? Have you eaten this morning?
Yes. Rice.
You went to farm to go and get the rice?
No.
Hallelujah. He did get home. And the mommy said, it is bread you eat. Does he have a say? Does he? Eh? I said, excuse me. All your meat is pounded and they eat after service. Why are you giving me indomie? Is that how it works? Eh? Is that how it works? Eh? Mommy, is that how it works? When you get to the house, you can change your mind and say, it's no longer indomie. Isn't it? Does he have a right to say, no, not indomie? Eh? You know why?
He's in the comfort zone.
Thank you, good yourself. He's where?
In his comfort zone.
He doesn't care. It's not his business. As far as he's concerned, I am hungry, give me food. That's the comfort zone. That's the zone of ease. Hallelujah. You are in school. You are just passing. You are just passing. That's what? That's comfort. You just read very little and A has come. You are just reading very little. A has come. B has come. You are just cruising in the department. But one day, F just show up. Do you understand now? You have moved to combat. Do you understand? At that zone, you have no headache. You have no problem. Do you understand the cause? I understand it. Oye me. I can do tutorial for others. You are in comfort zone in that area. Hallelujah. You're in comfort zone. You're married. Everything is just working. Working fine. There is no problem. Hallelujah. Oh God. The man, the lady I was talking to you about, she went, the husband is a big boy. He works as a manager of one American company. And he happened to be a PA to his pastor before he got the job in Dubai. Hallelujah. So from Dubai, they traveled to another country. Everything was rosy. Everything was smooth. Everything was doing well. She was enjoying her marriage. And she was excited. Do you understand? But suddenly they moved to that country. And she was to go back and join the husband later. Before she realized what was happening. The husband has impregnated the lady in that country. Trouble started. Are you following me? The lady has given birth. The girl said, don't come back and join me. I don't want to see you again. You know what was started now? But when I said, what was your spiritual life? What does it look like? When you are in Dubai, he said, we don't really pray as such. That's what you do. That's what you do. Isn't it, daughter? Before you came to arrange things here this morning and play this keyboard, how many hours did you pray? For on the keyboard. You prayed on the keyboard. Why? Do you know why?
He's in the comfort zone. He knows how to play keyboard.
Do you understand? Do you understand? All through the night, I've been up since 2:12. When did I sleep? Around 4:30. You don't stand here ordinarily. You need to understand the zones of life. The day it becomes a comfort zone for me, I'm in trouble. I know it. You think it's everybody that wants me to preach and go back home safe? You think everybody that hears my voice around here are excited and happy about it? Do you think everybody around here that hears my voice every Sunday are okay? I was praying and studying around 3:30. A bird, thank God, just landed on this place and started making a strange noise. I rose up like a lion. I fought it. I began to pray. I began to fight it. It began to shout. I began to shout. I raised my temple. All of them were sleeping. Oh, Jimmy, I know what you're dealing with. And the thing is, I punished you. That's comfort zone. You are too comfortable where you are. You need to understand the zones of life. The day it becomes ease, you're in trouble. What the devil is pushing you to is a zone where you think your skill will suffice. You think your skill is okay. You think you know everything. You think you are smart. I studied. I read my book. Sir, have you prayed before going to write the exam? Said, no. It's not necessary. I have gone through past questions. No problem. You don't enter your car. You have been driving since 1940. As a matter of fact, in 1929, they gave you an award in driving in Nigeria. And you just jump inside the car. Have you been? Then you have a problem now. We didn't even pray this morning. Can you follow me this morning? That's where we live our lives. Okay, yeah. So it's not just by age. It's by zone. Praise the Lord. That's number one. Number three, number four. It is a zone where many decisions you need to make are dependent on others. It is a zone where many decisions that you need to make is dependent on others. Jacket needed keyboard. Laptop, right? You spoke to your mom. And I also spoke to her, isn't it? Why didn't you just wake up and just go? Enter shop and buy laptop and carry it home. Why? You understand? Because you're in the comfort zone area of life. Many decisions you will make are solely dependent on others. You consult before you do. You rely on somebody to make that decision for you. Sometimes Kendi will finish spending his money. He'll go and discuss with his mom. You understand? That month has not ended. But this month he has spent. Hallelujah. And you know, once the mom comes and starts singing nursery rhymes to me, I understand where she's going. Hallelujah. And she wants me to top it up. Praise the Lord. That is in the comfort zone. Yeah. Kindi, a day we come. When another Kindi will ask you, Daddy. That's it. You have not sent my allowance. Then you will understand. Your decisions are dependent on others. You rely solely on them. Absolutely on them. You trust them. If they lead you well, fine. If they don't lead you well, you are in trouble. Hallelujah.
Those are the things that happen in the comfort zone.
That's number one. Four. Number five. This is the zone where you are complete and you are innocent of many things. It is a zone where you are what? Complete and innocent of many things.
You don't know that that's how things work. You are so innocent. You don't understand how things are working. You just live your life. You do anything the way you want.
Hallelujah. Number six. Many people see it as a period of enjoyment rather than a time of preparation. Now that this is where the problem is. The comfort zone is not comfort for ease. Hallelujah. It is comfort for preparation. It is not comfort for ease. It is comfort for what? For preparation.
That's where many people miss it in life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know now,
you can just wake up. Abi, Edric can wake up 1 a.m. and say he wants to eat. Abi, am I right, sir? Will you give him food? Will you give him? If he cries, won't you answer him?
You will answer him. Do you understand? But can you wake up 1 a.m. and eat heavy pandedium and lie down immediately?
Why? By the time you start belching in the morning, it will start smelling what? Vomit. Isn't it? Why?
Because the engine of the stomach of Edric is working sharp, sharp, like a machine now. It is brand new. It is chassis.
But you know what?
For you, it is not everything you can eat again at every time.
Many people's lives have been bastardized in the comfort zone. So that by the time they make progress in life, they just meet themselves in crisis when they don't understand.
And they're wondering, how did I get here? Something has gone wrong at the comfort zone. They didn't take it. It is a time of preparation. It is not a time of enjoyment.
Number seven. This is the zone where the devil fights a man very hard and puts in his life what can later kill him. Do you understand that? You are in comfort zone now. You know, sometimes when I see so many of these, our youth, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and they are already smoking heavily. You know, they are in their comfort zone. Abi? So they can smoke. The smoke doesn't have any effect on them. They feel it is life. They can drink beer. Anyhow, they think it's part of enjoyment, isn't it? But do you know what? One day, they wake up and they said, the two kidneys are part of. Do you understand? Where have they gone, met themselves now?
Crisis zone. Hallelujah.
Then I said, okay, what they need now is what? Dialysis. Maybe of about 30,000 naira every day.
Trouble has come.
Hallelujah. But don't smoke. Don't drink.
No. Am I dying?
You understand?
We are in comfort zone.
Now let me show you the life of some guys in the comfort zone. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let me show you. Let's do some case study. Hope I'm not boring you this morning. Let's do some look at some case studies. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 25. Look at this man. Samuel. Verse 25. I read from 25 to 28. Abraham, quickly. Are you following me this morning? You know, when you understand this, you'll be able to sit some of your friends down and say, come. I want to talk to you. Do you understand? I want to talk to you. You know, there was a time we had long vacation in school. I was in SS2. So my father then, he's a vet doctor. He was working at Lafayette G in Kwara State. That's a Lupe speaking area. That's the capital of Edo, local government of Kwara State. So I followed him there. So every morning, I will see some guys that we went to school together. They were assembled in their office. In his office. They were assembled. Then the official car will pack all of them somewhere and they will all go. These are people I know in my area at Ilorin. This is not Ilorin. You understand? I was wondering that. Where do these people normally go? Every morning. So I asked my father. He said, do you want to join them? I said, I want to join them. I want to follow them and go. Because it's comfort zone. I just follow him. You understand? Omo Oga. You understand? They bring fresh meat for us. They bring meat and everything. I eat for money. So the following day, he said I should follow them. So I entered the pickup. You know, I was excited inside the pickup with them. So they went and we kept going. They drove inside the bush for about 3 hours. It was a forest reserve. Are you following me now? And they need to hack down the trees. They call those trees, they call it pulp. Those are the trees they use for manufacturing paper. Pulp. It has a big leaf like this. If you are going towards Gwada, you see those trees. A lot of them are there. They call them pulp. They use them. So they used to fall those trees and per tree. You understand? As at that time, I think it was about 20 naira or so. So if you succeed in falling one yourself, you have the 20 naira. But if people help you, you people will share the money. You understand? So we got there, we got down, everybody, we greeted each other, they gave me cutlass. Hey, wow. Hey guys, what's up here? That's where we come. The guy said, this is where we get money that we spend in school. He said, we get our school fees here. His brother and his younger brother. His younger brother is my friend, Minka. You understand? They're in the UK now. He said, is where we get money to pay for our school fees and save for. So every time there is break, sometimes we come here to work for a week. So I carry this cutlass for the first time in my life. Boy, under 15 minutes, I was breathing like a chicken. So they just removed from inside water. I didn't make a mark on the tree. I didn't make a mark on the tree, on my own tree. Oh boy, all my hands swollen, blood clotted. You understand what I'm talking about? Blisters. I saw them. They removed their t-shirt. They used to bandage their hands. And that's why they were holding cutlass. I didn't move on time. Then when I saw the guy, my hand, why didn't you look at us now? Let me there. You understand? I said, what? He said, remove your t-shirt. That's what we did. So I had to remove my t-shirt, bandage it. Then I started hitting. So eventually, so at the end of the day, they gave me 5 naira. $5 looked like big money. But you know, for the first time in my life, I hand money. I knew what it means. You understand? When somebody gives you 10 kobo, and you are in your comfort zone, you grumble. Wait. You'll get there one day. Now look at this guy. The Bible says, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Run. And she said, oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. You remember Samuel? Go ahead. He said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Verse 28. He said, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. Huh? He shall lend to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. They took Samuel by the hand and took him to church. And the mother said, I dash you to God. And years later, the Bible says, none of his words fall to the ground. The one he meant and the one he didn't mean, they happen as he says it. How did he get there? It's no joke. Something has happened in his comfort zone. The mother visits him once a year, and it is on that occasion that they buy him clothes. That's when they bring change of raiment. BK, second hand for him. Once a year, he had to wake up, wash the clothes, be hygienic, and appear in the temple, and sit in the temple, listen and watch the high priest. All the while, all the others were busy gallivanting around town. But he knew that I'm in comfort zone, but I'm here to build life. Hallelujah. So that I can develop the resistance to deal with the devil.
Later in his future, he knew why he was there. That was Samuel. No wonder. One day, his friend saw. He went to meet his friend and they were discussing. And he was telling his friend, Saul, he said, sir, why did you do this? Why did you do the sacrifice? Without waiting for me. And Saul said, you didn't come on time. Ah, and he said, I'm angry with you, I'm going. And he turned, as he turned to go. Saul said, come back now, my friend. And what happened? The cloth, the apron of Samuel tore. Ah, Saul said, oh, Yashon, you tore my cloth. He said, that's the way the kingdom has been recollected from your hand. Oh, come here. That was the end. He dethroned Saul. How? By the words. How did he get there? By the things that was built into him as a composer. That was the end. He got back home and he started crying. He said, Lord, why did I say this? He told God. He said, Lord, honestly, I just mistakenly spoke to my friend. And God said, somewhere. Yeah. You don't understand who you are. He said, what, sir? He said, you have collected it. You understand? That's what Samuel chapter 16, from verse 1. He said, you have collected the kingdom from him. He said, so why are you crying over him? I said, no, I didn't mean it. He's my friend. God said, look, I have chosen another person. Go and anoint that one. He said, why? He said, you are the one that said it. Can you imagine? So God can honor the word of a man like that. What happened? How did he get there? Yeah. Let me show you how that man. The one he gave the kingdom to. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. I'll read quite some verses there. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not boring you this morning. I hope you are learning. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. Now listen carefully to this. The Bible says, and he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Now, underline in your Bible the word sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and who? And his sons. And called them to the sacrifice. Are you following me now? What's the meaning of sanctification? We saw it yesterday. Do you remember Exodus? That should be chapter 40, verse 32. Look at Exodus 40, 32. Let's understand the meaning of that sanctification. He said, and when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near, that's Aaron and his sons, and Moses, unto the altar, they washed. And the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. What is the meaning of the washed? Huh? They baked them. Do you know what the Muslims call wonka? They baked them. Are you following me? So they bathe them. They sanctify them. So now they are ripe for service before God, right? And let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'll show you something. Yeah. Verse 6. I'll read fast. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked to on Eliab, that's the firstborn, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Go ahead. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look on, not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Are you following the story? Go ahead. Alright. Then they said, called Abinadab, that was the second born, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither had the Lord chosen this one. Voila. He said, then they said, made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Go ahead. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Can you imagine? But he said, God told me that the king is in this house. I'm supposed to anoint him. Now look at what he did next. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. Are you following me? Now listen carefully. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Okay. Are you following me now? Who is keeping the sheep? No, the who? The youngest. Abi? Good. Listen carefully. And he keepeth the sheep. That guy, well, his own, I understand. We are in comfort zone. This is family time. We are all at home now. You understand? This is family time. Let's discuss things that pertain to the family. You understand? And they sat down, they were all eating suya, enjoying themselves. But the Bible says, just minute one, the youngest, right? He fed the sheep. And Samuel said, come to the sheep, send and fetch him, for we will not sleep down till he comes either. Are you following? Now look at it. And he sent and brought him. Now, listen carefully. Now, he was ruddy and withered of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Did they beat him? Did they? Huh? That guy has developed some spiritual stamina that the debating of men is irrelevant. God said all those ceremonies, the people they did all the ceremony for, they failed. They didn't beat him. Beat him came. The guy has been cooked. You know it in Yoruba? What he said, you know? Huh? He has worked with God, sir. He has eaten with God. He has been in the presence of divinity. He didn't waste his comfort zone. He has known God for himself. You understand? You know, you won't understand it until we go to the battlefield. Abi, let me quickly show you that one on the battlefield. 1 Samuel 17:45. I'll just read 45 and 46. Look at what he said. Look at what he said to Goliath. That's where you will know. Boy, you know, it's one of my favorite Bible characters. Hey! Look at what he said. He said, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. How many days? After 40 days that the soldiers have been on the battlefield. Nobody. And you know, Goliath will come to them. When you get to read the story, Goliath said, all ye children, all ye soldiers of Saul, send me a man that I may fight him. And they will run away. But this boy, 17 years old, he was not yet qualified to be in the army. You need to be 20 upward before you can be enrolled in the Israeli army. Are you following? Up to now. Where did he land? He said, you are not listening to this guy. He said, I am not army of Saul. I am army of the living God. I met with him somewhere. We had a pact. Look at it. Next. He said, this day. That this day the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. Hey? You know, I was talking to about a man that was about 40 years old. The Bible says Goliath has been a man of war from his youth. He said, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God. Where did he learn it? That was why they couldn't do Onka for him. Ah, David! Let me show you another man. Luke chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 42. I'll read to verse 46. Luke chapter 2, 42 to 46. Look at this man. You know, every time I read this story, I always laugh. I always do what? I always laugh. You know why? Because have you ever been in a situation where people are talking about you? They're talking about you, but they didn't know it's you. I've had people talk about me, but they didn't know I'm the one. You understand? They're talking about Lift. Just this morning, the question that we do. You understand? The writer of Lift did this. Yeah, no, I learned this, I learned that. And I was like, eh? Wow. Hallelujah. And the guy asked me, he said, which website do you copy it from? He asked me, he said, which website do you copy Lyft from every morning? He said, that those words are powerful words. He said, where do you normally copy it for before you share it? Show me the source. So I'll also be copying it and be sharing it to my friends. He says, because some days, that might be network problem, but at least I know your own, if your network has problem, the where you are copying it for is abroad. The network will not have problem. I said, my brother, I write it. He said, every day is not possible. He said, for how long have you been writing it? I said, for 5 years. Every day. He said, online, tell me the truth. That was what was happening here. Do you understand? The Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of feast. Listen, go ahead. He says, go ahead, 43. He said, and when they had fulfilled the days, and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Careless parents. They left God. Where have you left Jesus? They left Jesus. You know, some of you are in church. They left their own Jesus at home. I'm sure you understand. They left him. And they left. Bible says, but they, supposing him to be in company, to have been in the company. Can you imagine? You know, many people think Jesus is still with them. They know God. Holy Ghost. He said, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. 45. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Don't leave God and start going back to look for him. Go ahead. And it came to pass that after 3 days, how many days? They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Who are they talking about? The Word. Who is the Word? Him. Who wrote it? Him. Go ahead. And all that had him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Where were all these other people, colleagues? They've gone. You understand? You know, when the Bible says he was not found in the company. Do you understand? You know, when we are young, when we go for choir practice, we'll move in company back home. So we'll be gisting, strolling, gisting, yapping each other immediately after choir practice till we get home. That's why we go to choir. Do you understand? So that we can have gist. So we don't gist till we get home. So that's the exciting time. All the people that when we are playing ball, that they didn't agree, they have made up their mind that they will fight and beat themselves on the way home. So when we get to Lungu, we'll make things for them so that they can fight. So they will fight themselves. They will beat themselves anywhere. You understand? Hey, you are showing him, Abby. Next time, call him, brother. Yes. So we're not going to clean our face. Let the father know. Clean our face anywhere. One day, I went to look for somebody's trouble. The guy said he will deal with me. So, I didn't know they were planning for me. So they arranged. They just made field and put me in the center. Ah! And the guy came. All I'm doing, we're playing ball. They were all shaving like him. Do you know the video of Eki? Do you know? What is Eki? What is Eki? You slide me. So I fell. You slide me. I will deal with you today. And I stood up. You didn't even greet me. He started abusing me. Look at my leg. I will flog you today. I knew I can't fight that guy. But do you know what? My younger sister, the one in the US, just came forward. And I touched my brother. And the guy said, and he was looking at my sister. And I just went behind my sister. He said, touch my brother. And the guy just moved close to me. My sister just jumped up and slapped him. Holy! The guy spin in the air and landed on the floor. The guy stood up and ran. They pushed him back. He ran. My younger sister. You understand? So the guy had injury. So the following day, they brought him to our house. And they said, oh, let me there. This guy said, you beat him. And I said, he didn't beat him. They said, who beat you? And my sister, Chukuli,
He came out. And the father said, she beat you. He said, yes. The father slapped him. Boy! Give me another one. Boy! That was the end of the matter. So those are the things we do. So it's always exciting. It's always exciting. Jesus didn't mix. He didn't go for the fun. He sat back with the elders, asking them questions, building his confidence. No wonder. The words couldn't contain him. More than 2,000 years later, he has been gathered to talk about you. How did he spend his comfort zone? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what must I do in the comfort zone? Let me give you some things and then I round up here. Number one, what are the things that is expected of me in the comfort zone? Number one, this is the time you must pay attention to gather the materials needed for the next zone of life. That's the challenge. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. You sit down and gather the resources. You know, many youth, we are advising them, do this. We are talking to them. You know, many times I just leave some of them alone. Because I know. The day they enter into crisis, they will remember, and Pastor Deo, you used to say this thing. Hey! It's the time to settle down. Gather all the information and the material you need for your life. I told you, my mother enrolled me in music school. I went to a school. You understand? The likes of the people that passed through that school today. Let me mention one of them for you to understand. They were. Was Lagbaja. How many people know Lagbaja? I want big bros. Yeah, in the school. The music is superb. The music is superb. The likes of Tosin Adolori and Co. They went to that school. She enrolled me. I didn't show up for keyboard. I didn't show up for saxophone. Ministry has started now. We need somebody to play these things. You know, for several days. Have you? Mega used to play one hand for us. When did this start? we are dancing like that. Most Sundays, we have those. You know, that's what I said. Sometimes when you see our choir now, I used to laugh. I said, God, you are too much. It's only two of them. Have you? Three of them. Yes, three of them. Ebile, Richard, and Pat. Every Sunday, it's a cappella. Choir special number. It's a cappella. They will sing a cappella. I remember a day. Though was it 1-1-1. Every time the song was cut out, this is just look at it. Hallelujah. That's where we came from. But here was I. My mother paid hard money for me to learn these things. I didn't. I was in comfort zone. What do I want to do with keyboard? I want to be an engineer. No problem. With all my master's in engineering now, what am I doing? It's a time of equipping for the next stage of life. Pay attention. Number two. It is the time to pray. Listen carefully to this. It is the time to pray so that there will be no issues that will call for desperate prayers later. It is the time to do what? To pray. So that there will be no issues that we call for desperate prayers later. You pray so that you don't need to pray. I was telling you, that lady said, well, we were not praying. We don't really do devotion. We don't pray. We don't really do anything. Now, problem has started. She has been running from prophet to prophet, pastors to pastor. All manner of strange ideas. Marriage has collapsed. That's a serious challenge. Number two. Sorry, is it number three? Yes, number three. It is the time to build your faith and develop your prayer life. It's the time to build your faith and develop your prayer life. Hallelujah. It is that time to build your faith and develop your prayer life. Habakkuk 2:4.
He said, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, when you see that word live by his faith, it means two things. Number one, it means the just will continue to exist by faith. That's number one. Number two, the quality of life that will be enjoyed by the just will be by faith. The quality of life that you will enjoy will be how? By faith. So you can read that statement like this. Look at this composition. The just shall continue to remain alive and determine the quality of life he enjoys by his faith. You know the sad part? Whether you like it or not, one day you will show up where? At the combat zone. Abi, you are in second semester now, students. Right? Are you going to write the exam? When? Why? Huh? Why? Sir? To move ahead? Yes, I said why? Not to move ahead. That's not what I'm looking for. You will write the exam after you have been what? Taught. Abi? But now, here is the problem. If you don't show up in class, and they taught some particular topic, on the day of the exam, you are not praying. Oh God, give me one topic. Examology 101. You now knelt down. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand on the word of God. They must not ask questions from Examology 101. In the name of Jesus. Lord, Examology 102. That topic, I was not in class. They must not ask pressure from there. I sent the angel of the Lord ahead of me to confuse the lecturer.
No problem.
Is that how it was? Many instructions for your life. Are you present when it is taught? Where are you? Where were you? The way they teach faith. Where were you? You know they were doing prayer and fasting. Where did you go? There are issues that will confront you. I told you when the bed was making noise, I know what to tell it. I know what to say. I didn't stay in that class. I attended it. Is that how you didn't attend the class? You know what the Lord was saying it. Is that how you didn't attend? Some people attended the class, they didn't take notes. Some people attended the class, they were distracted, they were distant with their friends in the class. Exam will show up. Whether you like it or not, they will ask questions from all the topics, except by divine intervention. Hey, the day they are teaching faith, where are you? They said, pray 30 minutes every day. Where did you go? You dodge your own, no problem. It's true. You meet yourself, suddenly you come back and say, okay, don't do this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Ah. And demon long way. You are telling demon, for God so loved the world. Demon will say, no problem. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Julius, identify yourself. Hallelujah. That's how life runs. It is the time of equipping. It is the time to develop. Number four. This is where you should take heed to your health. This is where you should take heed to your health. If you do not change your diet at this stage, you will soon find yourself in combat zone one day. You will. It's not everything you can eat. Do you understand that? Diabetes is in his system. No. When he was eating munching sugar. You understand? You know, most of our women, we love our children. Have you? They just go inside the kitchen. They will open the container where we used to put sugar. They just packing and eating sugar.
The man said, don't leave that place. Leave that place.
Leave him. He's a child.
You know why? He can easily digest it. Wait. Something is happening in his system that can get him to crisis one day. He has picked it up there. You didn't know. Some people have developed some strange things in their life. The Bible says, when men slept, his enemy came and sow tares among the wheat. The comfort zone is the zone where you are sleeping. You didn't know. But the enemy knows what he's doing. He has shown up and he has dropped things in your life. Listening to a marriage counselor. A marriage counseling is about to take place. Will you attend? He said, it's not for us. It's for married people.
Yeah.
You may never know. Just one information from that seminar might change the way you will live your life. That there who said when he was in courtship with his wife, before they got married, 3 years before they got married, 3 years before they got married, he gave her all the scriptures on easy delivery and started quoting it as a spinster. Do you understand? As a spinster, she started quoting scriptures, standing on scriptures for easy delivery. Said she delivers. You remember Exodus chapter 1? They deliver. The Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They deliver before the midwives come. And she started quoting it for 3 years every day. They married, she got pregnant. So when the day came for delivery, she entered the labor room and she was gisting with the nurses and they were all laughing and laughing. You understand? I said, come and see this woman. This woman is not in labor. The baby came out. What? You don't know. Before Edric came, he's a baby here. For how many months were you quoting? Was it up to 3 or 4? Ma? More than. For easy delivery. So I was here. Ask how the delivery was of Edric. About Edmund's delivery. You know, mega traveled. We rushed to their house to go and pick her. We rushed to their house that day to go and pick her. You know that their street, that was Mandela Road. I was driving like a madman. I did 120 on Mandela Road. You understand? Because it was just screaming, the baby is coming. The baby is coming. My wife held her at the back seat. I was just rubbing her. I was just looking at the mirror. I'm pressing the accelerator. I put double traffic. I was driving like a crazy man. I got to that traffic light. I negotiated it like a madman. I drove all the way to Bay Clinic. I entered Bay Clinic. I rushed down. The ignition was still on. I said, we have an emergency. My wife opened the door for her to come out. She jumped down. Before my wife could grab her, she ran. With her 2 legs. This is my wife here. She ran with her 2 legs. So the Megad came. The Megad said, repark, sir. You can't leave your car here. Other people might want to come in. So I reparked the car. As I reparked the car, I entered. I just saw the baby. Who told you? That's not possible. Who told you? What are you doing in your comfort zone? You are pregnant. That's the time you know you want to go on vacation. Number five. You learn how to manage time, money, and resources. You learn how to manage time, how to manage money, and how to manage resources. And one of the resources you learn how to manage are human beings. But this is why many people miss it. They arrive in the palace and they are very rude. Do you understand? Now they are made. Now they have arrived at the place of glory. But they are arrogant. Very foolish people. And they are in authority now. Where do you think he learned it? Why do you think God had to take Joseph away from his father's house and made him a slave? You know why? Because he was already living like a king that he has not become. He was already wearing a coat of many colors. Joseph walked back. He looked at all his other brothers. They had a dream. They said, what is the dream? They were all binding sheets. Put his hand in his pocket. Your sheets. My sheet stood erect. And
all your sheep
were bowing down to my sheep.
Our own, we are bowing down to you. Oh, yeah, we understand how they can this dream. Then that's that king I saw. And he wore his regalia. You know, the regalia is worn by the firstborn. You understand? I want the father's favorite. So he moves in convoy. That was Joseph. So he was moving in convoy. The following morning, he woke up again. They come, all of you. They gathered again like Mumu. Then what is it again? I dreamt yet another dream.
Okay.
Ruben, look at Ephraim. They look at Ruben. They look at Gad. They look at Nat. And this guy is looking for trouble today. They don't listen. He said, let's hear what he has to say. He said, the dream I had over the night. I saw myself sitting in the wall on a throne. He said, is that so? He said, yes. He said, but this time around, I saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down before my throne.
Okay.
Now you have joined father and mother to the vision. Abi? Yeah. If you see it like that, no problem.
Okay.
What is regalia? The father said, go and give your brothers food. Immediately they appeared, what did they say? They said, thank God he has come. Abi, Genesis chapter 37. Abi? They said, we will kill him. Let us kill him and see what will become of what? Of his dreams. Can you imagine Joseph with that attitude on the throne? Can you imagine? He said, I have a dream. And this is his accusation. Finally, after 17 years in the prison, they brought him out. Pharaoh said, I have a dream. He said, may you live long, O king. The king says, oh, no, stand up. He said, you can interpret dream. He said, sir, interpretation belongs to God. Oh, it's the better one. Oh, the old way. The guy has got to prison. He tells down. He says, sir, me, interpret dream. It's an honest thing. I can't. He said, honestly. He said, wallahi. Interpretation belongs to God. And I believe today he will have mercy on me and give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What do you think has happened? he was in prison without a term. You understand? They didn't say you will spend 10 years in prison, did they? Potiphar just threw him in prison. And he's a foreigner. His name was not on the record book in prison. So nobody even knew he was there. There was no way they could free him. He's not on the roll call. He would have died inside that prison. That was why, after some time in prison, the potter and the baker, you remember when he told them their dream? He said, you guys, tell me your dream. He said, I can interpret dream. I used to interpret dream in those days. He said, I said, I can interpret dream. I used to. Honestly, I lie. I cannot believe that one. He said, that deep dream is what brought me here. But anyway, let me hear. And they narrated it. And he looked at their faces again. I said, you know, your dreams are simple. This is what will happen. He said, but when you get out of here, remember me. Did they remember him? After many years. God said, but boy, you have not learned. 2 more years. You understand? It was within those 2 years. He said, what did I do? This guy has forgotten me. He has gone back to the palace. He has forgotten me. After 2 years, God now came back. And said, Jo. How are you doing now? He said, sir, would you tell help me. Get me out of here. Sorry, pardon my vernacular. He said, help me. Get me out of here. God said, okay, no problem. I know what to do. He said, you are okay now. He said, sir, motivate you. He said, I'm humble now. Okay. Okay, no problem. I know what to do. And God just entered into the palace and went and met Pharaoh and woke Pharaoh up and gave Pharaoh a dream. 2 dreams.
the same night, and he began to terrorize Pharaoh. Why? Because of Joseph. And they remembered him. And when he arrived, he was a made man. He has learned humility. He has learned forgiveness. He has learned how not to keep offenses. The things he will have learned easily in his comfort zone, he learned it where? In crisis. May you not learn in crisis. Do you understand? Number what? Number six. Build your defense. Develop your spiritual resources. And develop your capacity and capability. Build your defenses. Develop your spiritual resources. And develop your capacity and capability. That's where you do it. That's where you learn how to pray in tongues for hours. I pray in tongues. I just pray. I pray in tongues like that. One day. I was not ordained as a pastor. So we were sleeping. We had some visitors. My wife was not feeling fine. She was not feeling fine. So she was complaining. And you know, sometimes when you complain, they say it's high fever. She was just seeing things. There is eye fever. You understand? And she was just complaining. She was just hallucinating. What kind of fever is this? And she was running temperature. Do you understand? And the thing was going on like that. So I was just praying. I went to the sitting room. That's why I learned how to sleep in the sitting room. I slept in the sitting room. So in the night, I said, let me go and check this woman in the room. As I just entered into our corridor, I just saw something. You understand? Do you know this gown? This graduation gown. Eh? That thing was like graduation gown with the cap. The cap looked like the head of that thing. And the thing was just doing like this. Eh? Is that my house? That woman was. So I knew that day that's when some people are telling you that they are hallucinating. Only in Congo. They are saying something. No? Eh? So I went back. I couldn't enter that corridor. Eh? Lucky Barusha. Mazuta liga de bakasantaria. Marekebos kipulia. Rigade gedeboza. I stood and prayed for almost 3 hours in tongues. Do you understand? I didn't know. That thing just went out. Bam! She woke up the following morning. She said she was okay. Where did I learn it? While I know they eat, this is crisis. In my house. No. You build your muscles. You exercise your spiritual alertness in that realm, in that zone. That's what you do. Don't allow the enemy to molest you. How? If the enemy is molesting you in one area, there is a lesson you have missed. That's all. That's the truth. You have missed a lesson somewhere that was critical to your destiny. You didn't learn it. The enemy knew. The enemy is marking attendance. Go watch out, lady. He marked it. The day they discussed, yesterday was, we spoke about the temple, Abby. He didn't show up when they discussed temple. You understand? The devil took it. He's waiting for you in future to get you into a crisis that you will require that what we discussed yesterday, and you were not there. He knows. He's marking attendance. He has marked the attendance of you that came to church. He knew the sermon. Number 7. You deliberately place yourself under training and mentorship. That's where you do it. Do you understand? You deliberately place yourself under training, under mentoring, under a father. Look, I have a spiritual father. I'm proud to say it anywhere. If you don't have a spiritual father that can speak over your life, that can speak into your life, you're on your own. You're in trouble. The day you will require an anointing to bail you out, huh? That's when you will understand what it means to have a spiritual cover. You deliberately do it. You deliberately subject yourself to an
authority over you. You do it on purpose. You don't gamble. You don't negotiate it. My father-in-law said, any man that does not have a man that can tell him, shut up and sit down, is a dangerous man. And here you are, a lady, you want to get married, you are going to marry a man that nobody can look at him and tell him, shut up and sit down. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. The day he will slap you, nobody to report him to. You went to report him to his pastor. The woman had a problem. He went to report the husband to the pastor. And the pastor said, nonsense. And call me to your house. I will deal with him. And the husband, as the man was approaching the pastor's, as the pastor was approaching their house, the husband went to the pastor and knelt down. He said, Daddy, you're welcome to our house. And the man, of course, said, no problem. He said, Daddy, honestly, I've been planning to come to church. This is my tithe. 200,000. Can you just pray for me? And the pastor said, God bless you. The pastor entered their house. And the pastor said, Madam, you are wrong. May you not have a stupid father over your head. You and your tithe, my foot. Can you imagine? Be smart. Be careful. You have married that kind of a man now. You are in crisis. What do we do now? We are looking for divine intervention. Can you imagine? Let me show you a scripture. He said, a spiritual father is the one whose voice you listen to and obey. You listen to his voice. You listen to his guidance. And you obey. Stop it. Don't do this. There is something he has seen. He has passed through the road you are about to pass through. But here you are raising shoulders. No problem. It will soon show up. Let me show you this scripture and then we'll begin to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 12. This is why I must play my role as a father over this house. Hallelujah. If you don't listen to me, there is no problem about that. But I will tell you. Look at this scripture. Very pathetic. You know, Eli had major problems in his life. His sons killed him eventually. They were not trained. They wasted their comfort zone. Why Samuel was in the same house with them, learning from Eli. All the other stupid boys that he gave battle, they were not listening to him. Look at what happened. The Bible says, in that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Verse 13. He said, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever. Which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he did what? He restrained them not. And God just woke up one day and said, Eli, you and your house, you cease from the priesthood. I hand it over to Samuel. That was the end. That was the end. He restrained. Let me see it in the message. Look at it. That his sons were desecrating God's name and God's place, and he did nothing to stop them. That's why they are in this church. I will tell you the truth. Whether you like it or not, you place yourself deliberately under his spiritual authority. When do you do it? When you are in comfort zone. So that you don't just grow up like a crooked tree. You grow up straight. Well nourished, mature, well pruned, bringing forth precious fruit. That's my assignment. Do we understand that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll continue from here next week by His grace. But I have another call. You know some people.